And many in our world today seem to have no friends. They seem to be friendless. I believe every Christian, every one of his followers, disciples of the Lord Jesus, should cultivate abiding friendships. And probably you have and do. James 2:3 says that Abraham was a friend of God. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? And we can be, I think, a friend of God. Of Moses, it was said, God spoke to him as a man would speak to a friend. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. A preacher once preached to his congregation a message entitled, Recognition of Friends in Heaven. A few days later, he received a note in the mail. Dear Pastor, I would be much obliged if you would preach a sermon on the subject of recognition of friends on earth. I've been attending church 6 months and no one knows me yet. That's a bad indictment. That's a terrible indictment of any local church. A Midwestern lady once set out to test the waters, and so she visited 18 different churches on consecutive Sundays to see how friendly churches were. And she rated each church. If she got a smile from somebody, that was 10 points. If she got a, if somebody sitting nearby spoke a word of greeting, that was another 10 points. If somebody exchanged names with her, my name is so-and-so, what's yours? That was 100 points. If somebody invited her to coffee or dinner, that was 200 points. If somebody invited her to return back to the services again, that was another 200 points. 1,000 points was if she was introduced to another person by someone in the audience. And then the big one was 2,000 points if she was introduced to the pastor or a staff member. At the end of those 18 weeks, she said no churches, not one of the 18 churches, earned 100 points. That's another terrible indictment. I hope that would never be true at Thompson Road Baptist Church. I hope that we are known as a friendly church. What is a friend? Well, it's someone you could call when you're in trouble and you wouldn't feel like you're an imposition. It's someone you believe in and someone who believes in you. It's someone who accepts your friends as theirs also. It's someone who's honest with you. Someone who confides in you and you wouldn't and they would not betray your confidence. Someone who will not bail you out, or who will not bail out on you, I should say, when others would. Someone whose soul is knit with yours, like Jonathan and David's. Their soul was knit one with the other. Someone that would fight for you or defend you. Someone who makes you a better person. Does your friend make you a better person? Or does he or she lessen your self-worth or self-esteem? Someone whom you would seek counsel from and accept counsel from. Someone in whom you would be willing to invest time, a precious commodity of time. Someone to whom you would give something and not expect anything in return. Well, those are a few things that I jotted down where I thought, what is a friend? Who is a friend? I hope you have a friend. I'm sure you do. But I'm going to talk today about maintaining good friendships, so vital in living a Christian life that the Lord would be pleased with. Before the message, though, the message proper, we're going to have a message of music by a friend, being a friend. If I can find my place, I'll be right with you. I think I've got it. Okay. So, the value of a friend, or value of good friends. Let me just go to Proverbs with me, if you would, again, please. Book of Proverbs, and I'm going to be in several different verses there. So, give you several statements I think would indicate that we have a good friend, the value of a good friend. Hold on just a second. Okay. I've got more notes around here than I know what to do with, but I'll find one that I want to use. Okay, here we go. Value of a good friend. Number one, a friend is somebody that you can always count on. Proverbs 17 is what I have, which might have been the one we, it's not the one we read a while ago. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all time. Sometimes we disappoint our friends and we're disappointed by them, but we still love them. A friendship is something that is a commitment of one's heart and mind and soul. So a friend is one that you can always count on, Proverbs 17:17. Secondly, a friend is one that will give you good counsel. Go over to chapter 27, Proverbs 27. Now, wait a minute, folks. I'm listening for Bible pages. I know you probably have it up there. But turn your Bibles to these passages. Read them on your own. You can read that too. Yes, if you don't have a Bible, but turn to Proverbs 27, verse 9. Listen as I read if you can't get there quickly. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. It's amazing how much print, if you would, that Solomon gives to the subject of friendship. It's all over the place because it's so important. Look at it again. He says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. It's a wonderful thing to be to have sweet smell and have ointment that is soothing and healing. And that does rejoice the heart. It makes us feel good. So, the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Counsel that is thoughtful. Counsel that is biblical. Counsel that is honest. That's good to the man's soul. Thirdly, if you have a real friend, a friend's going to shoot straight with you. He's going to give you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. Proverbs 27. Are you there in Proverbs 27? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So your friend tells you something you didn't really want to hear. Kind of wounded your spirit even. Told you you needed to do something, and you didn't want to hear that. You knew you needed to down deep, but you didn't want your friend to tell you that. And he was just blunt, brutally honest maybe even, but he or she told you the truth. Couldn't argue with that. And so it's a friend that will shoot straight with you. And his wounds are faithful. He's been a faithful messenger. He's been a faithful friend. I probably shared this story before, but when I was in seminary, I was getting ready to graduate. I thought I'd go to another school and get another degree. It was not a school that was known to be a fundamental place where I was going to become more well-grounded in the fundamentals of the faith, but it would probably be a place where I would be ministered to up here in my head and get some kind of an advanced degree. So I asked one of my professors to write a letter of recommendation. So that I, you know, you have to have letters of recommendation if you're going to be admitted to certain institutions. And so this godly professor who pastored for 18 years in Detroit, Michigan, in that area, and then came over to Minneapolis and taught seminary to men like myself and 20 or 30 of us, maybe more, who were studying to become pastors. And so when I asked that, made that request of him and gave him the address to send the letter of recommendation to, he wrote me a letter back. I probably still have it somewhere in my files, but I've never forgotten it, even if I couldn't produce the letter. But he said, Brother Tony, he said, and I don't remember the words, but the bottom line was, I cannot recommend you to go to a liberal school to get higher education, a school that would not ground you more in the truth. And so he just would not give me a letter of recommendation. Probably wounded my spirit maybe for 2 seconds because I knew he was right. And I knew that God was using him to say, that's not what you need to do at this juncture in your life. And so I didn't. And I thank God for Dr. Charles McDonald. You know, if somebody like that, a friend, and we weren't buddy-buddy friends, but I was a student, and I would be honored to call him my friend. But he gave me good counsel. And that's what a friend does. A friend gives you good counsel. A friend will shoot straight with you. Then again, a friend will make you a better person. Look in chapter 27, if you're there still. We read it earlier, but one more time. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Makes you a better person. You spend some time with a friend, a real friend. A friend who is going to edify you in the Lord. Not tear you down. Not try to drag you down with him or her. I'll try to entice you to do that which you violate your conscience or your good testimony. A friend
who's going to build you up, who's going to encourage you, who, if you're weak, is going to give you some exhortation, some encouragement to keep on keeping on, to do right, a friend. Don't you love friends like that? Lifelong buddies. I've got one that I think is going to be here my 50th or my 40th anniversary service. I've known since I was probably 14. And he's been a lifelong friend. And I could confide with him. If I spent time with him, he'd make me bad. I haven't had much time with him over the years because he's been there and I've been here. But we're still friends. We communicate. And a friend like that is priceless. Treasure a friend like that who will make you a better person, who will make you a stronger Christian in your walk with Christ. A friend who will, before whom you can be, as we saw earlier, just transparent. You don't have to talk guardedly. You just open up your heart and share what's on your heart, because that's a friend you're talking to. He's not going to go out and blabber to somebody. Not going to be get on the party line and talk about your weakness that you shared with him. You know, John 15:15, I think, is a tremendous verse. Go there with me. John 15:15. Let's hear the pages. Now, some of you just need to carry a Bible to church. I know these overhead things are convenient, but come on. They don't take the place of a Bible in your hand. Open the pages up to Scripture. Read it for yourself. That way you might be able to remember where it is on the page when you want to look at it later on, maybe next week. John 15:15. Henceforth, Jesus said to his disciples, I call you not servants. Okay, I understand. Some of you got cell phones. Excuse me. And maybe that's why I'm not hearing pages rattle. Okay? I'm a little slow here. I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. He's talking to his disciples. I'm not going to call you servants anymore. I'd be proud to be called a servant by Jesus, wouldn't you? Yes, we are. We're his servants. We love to be known as his servants. He was a servant. He came in, that's what he was known as, a servant. Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Servant of man. So he says here, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You're my friends. Wow. Somebody, and I would never say who, but it doesn't matter. This morning before I came into the pulpit said, I thank God that you're my friend. I don't know if he'd seen what I was going to preach on or not, but I don't think so. That's what he says often. You're my friend. What a blessed privilege to have a friend. I was reading an article by Kurt DeHaan. It was probably his granddad, Dr. DeHaan, that founded Radio Bible Class, puts out the little booklets we read, devotionals. And they have a ministry ongoing today. But it's kind of a confession. I thought it was interesting. I'm going to share a little bit of it. He said, this isn't me at all. By the way, he wrote a little article entitled Confessions of an Unfriendly Christian. Confessions of an unfriendly, maybe many of you could sign your name to this. I hope not, but probably so in any given church, not just Thompson Road. This isn't like me at all. I've rarely gone this far putting my feelings on paper, not to mention actually making myself vulnerable to others. But that's exactly what has happened to me lately. I've taken the risk of letting a few people know how I really feel, and I've been taking more time to learn about them. Too long I've been like the island of Alcatraz, that now abandoned prison from which few convicts ever have escaped alive. I've often locked up and isolated my feelings from the outside world, not allowing them to go out or others to come in. As a result, I've become an expert on how to relate to people without really getting to know them or letting them get to know me. Is that you today? He said, I've become an expert on how to relate to people without really getting to know them. How you doing? Yeah, good, wonderful. Oh yeah, well, I pray for you. But really get to know them, sit down, spend some time with them when you let them share your heart, their heart, and you yours. He says, you may know all too well what I'm talking about, Kurt said, and I think we probably do, sadly. Another man wrote this article. He said, our family learned the meaning of true Christian friendship about 1.5 years ago. Our son was severely hurt in an accident. Our three children were home from college for Thanksgiving vacation. We were building a new house and we were working on the roof that day, trying to get some things done. And the opening to the chimney was covered with protective covering. My son, John, took a step back, forgetting that there was a opening there, and he fell straight down, landed on concrete. He was 18 years of age. I rushed over to see how he was. He was short of breath, breathing short breath. I did CPR. Somebody, one of his brothers called the ambulances. He was transported to the hospital. John was in a coma 4 weeks. He was in acute intensive care unit for 5 weeks after that. He'd been on a respirator 3 weeks and breathed through a tube for 6 weeks. And he had double vision for 14 weeks. During this time, the meaning of Christian friendship came alive for us. Our experience may help you to evaluate your friendship. It may also help you to become a friend when someone you know goes through an experience like ours. When a friend, and here's what this person who writes now, a year and a half later after his son experienced near death, here's what this person learned about friendship. Maybe we need to learn it too today. When a friend hears about someone else's tragedy, he does not immediately think of himself. He's not worried unduly about whether or not he will say the right words or bring the right gift. Have you ever thought of that? Somebody has a sudden tragedy in their family, and you know you must go, you should go, you want to go, but what can I say? What would I say? What can I take? Rather, he responds with his presence, with or without words. The many friends who came to the hospital during the first 2 days after John's accident ministered to us by ways of their very presence. I'm weeping in my spirit because I've been there. We've been there. You have too, probably. Some dear loved one hanging in the balance between life and death. And a friend or somebody you didn't even consider a close friend shows up, doesn't preach a sermon, doesn't quote scripture, doesn't say much, just is there. It means so much. A friend does not ask you about your needs. He sees what can be done and doesn't, and so forth. Friend does not have to be at the center of your conversation. At times, so many people were at the hospital, we couldn't spend time with them all. During this occasion, some people just sat in the waiting room. I've been in many waiting rooms when people just sat there, but they were there. Their body was there. Their spirit was there. Their heart was there. Their presence was there. It meant so much. A friend must be himself to earn the privilege of intimacy. We believe that every crisis prayer should be offered with absolute sincerity. Early in our hospital experience, a couple came in who didn't know what to say. They expressed their concern for us, and the man then asked if he could pray for John and for us as a family. We agreed. He began his prayer with great personal strength and confidence, but as he proceeded, the severity and reality of our situation overwhelmed him. He could not complete his prayer, but he was true to himself and to us, and we were helped because we knew of his genuine love. A friend loveth at all times. A friend who's somebody you can be transparent with. A friend makes you a better person. A friend is so, so very valuable. Oh, somebody wrote, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person. Having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but pouring them all out just as they are. Certain that a faithful hand will take and sift them, keeping what is worth keeping, and with the breath of kindness, blow the rest away. Are you that kind of a friend today? Do you have a friend like that? If you do, you're blessed. Oh, the inexpressible comfort of having somebody like that come alongside of you in your darkest day. The value of a friendship. Secondly, the limitations of friendships. Well, I want you to know that friends are not perfect. They're wonderful. We try to be perfect, but we fail. And here's some of the pitfalls of putting all your trust in a friend other than the friend of friends who's Jesus. Job had three friends. Job 16:20, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears to God. Friends misunderstood him. Sometimes your friends may. You say, well, they're not really my friends. Well, I think these men were Job's friends. They came from a far distance. They sat with him for 7 days and didn't say a word. And they had a lapse of good judgment. They opened their mouth instead of just continuing not to say a word. Job said in 19:14, my friends forgot me. Job said in 19:19, my kinfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. He said, all my inward friends abhorred me. And they whom I loved are turned against me. That was what Job said about some of his friends. So yeah, friends are friends. And they serve a great purpose. But remember, they're human too. And David said of his friends, Psalm 38:11, my lovers and my friends stand aloof and look at my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Might have been a prophecy of Jesus, but David wrote it. Probably was true of him also. He experienced some valleys, the depths of which most of us will never have to know. Some valleys where his own family forsook him, and certainly his own friends, and only a few stood with him as he had to abdicate his throne and leave Jerusalem for a while because of his own son. Spearheaded an insurrection against his kingship. Jesus said in Psalm 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Unbelievable. But all the disciples forsook him. As you know, a few women gathered at the cross, and then some of the disciples slithered back. But Jesus knew what it was to be forsaken by those who said, I will never deny you. He was betrayed by a friend. There are some bad friends and good friends illustrated in Scripture. One of the good illustrations, David and Jonathan, I've already alluded to. If you have your Bibles again, 2 Samuel chapter 1. Don't have time to go into the story, the background, but you know you've probably read 1 Samuel chapter 20 before. And how David and Jonathan's hearts were knit together. But in 2 Samuel 1:25, when David hears of Jonathan's untimely, tragic death, he said, oh, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle. Oh, Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? I don't know if you've ever had a friend like that. If you do, treasure it. A friend that you cherish. A friend whose death distresses you greatly. There's some good friendships that we read about in the Bible. There's also some bad ones. I think of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. This story is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was godly. He was successful. He was prosperous. But something got into him that made him want to become a friend of Ahab, who was a wicked king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, king over Judah. And they struck up an alliance together, and Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, I want you to go to war with me against Syria. That was a bad proposition, but Jehoshaphat, in a weak moment, said, okay, we'll go together. He said, but wait a minute, let's get a prophet of God, let's get a word from God. And so 450 prophets of the wicked king Ahab said, go for it. You'll win. You'll rout the Syrians. And Jehoshaphat just knew something deep within his heart and soul said, wait a minute. Is there not a prophet of God around here? These are Ahab's prophets. They're false prophets. Well, there is this guy, Micaiah, but he never says anything good about me, Ahab said. Well, bring him. Bring him, though. And you know the story. Micaiah could not say. First of all, in facetiously he said, yeah, go out against him. And Jehoshaphat knew he wasn't speaking from his heart, from the Lord. He said, no, come on, tell me this. And so the bottom line was, you better not go out. If you do, you're going to be badly, sorely defeated, which he was. Jehoshaphat, by the grace of God, came home that day. Ahab lost his life. The last verse in 2 Chronicles 18, and the battle increased that day. Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the even, and about that time, at the time of the sun going down, he died. That's Ahab. Jehoshaphat lived to tell about it. Well, we have sometimes examples of bad friends. Don't ever make an affinity or alliance with somebody that's not a godly person. Your young person, don't even contemplate marrying someone that doesn't have a heart for God, that's not sold out for Jesus. If you're saved, no matter where you're at in life, seek friends that are godly people that will encourage you, that will edify you, that will strengthen your faith, that will encourage you in your walk with God, that will pray for you genuinely, that will let you pour out your heart to them and they'll not go blab it to somebody, that will tell you the truth and be honest with you. Just be that kind of a person. Seek that kind of a friend. Friendship indeed. I brought into the pulpit with me again. If I can find it, I'll read some of it. Or if I can't, I'll just give you the gist of it. In 1971, I think it was. No, not 1971. It was the year. Well, it was written in 71. This person in our church gave me this, copy of this. It's about my friend, and he mentions his name, I won't, but if all the people in the world were like my friend, the problems of this world would stop. There would just not be any. Wars would stop. There would be world peace. Brotherly love would abound. Enemies with weapons dropped. Shaking hands the whole wide world around. There'd be no draft to take our young men when just getting started in life. No, for armies would cease to exist in the world. No nation would cause any trouble. Crime would end. Out on the streets, women could go walking at night. Children could play out without being watched. There'd be no such thing as a fight. Our jails would be empty. No one inside. Walled prisons would be torn down. No police in a car, walking beat. But there'd be no need to have them locks on our doors. There'd be no need for locking them. It would only be a waste. We could leave and return at any time of the day. Everything would be in its place. There'd be no problem between parent and child, for they would love one another. The family would be happy and close. The children, the father and mother. Taverns would close. No selling of booze. A cigarette would not be found. Clean bodied people and properly clothed would be nice to have them around. There would be no liars, no common thieves, no divorce. Each spouse would love each other. The earth would be filled with kind, giving people. Each loving his neighbor, none hating the other. A brother. Churches would be filled, no empty pews, for no one would stay away. They'd all worship God, the creator of all, looking forward to seeing him someday. My friend is such a fine fellow, for he met Jesus one day. He cast off his burden, cleaned up his life. God's spirit now leads the way. Oh, my friend has his problems. They come and they go. He may be tested with many, but he still will stand fast with Jesus our Lord. That's my friend. And then he filled in the blank with his friend's name. I'm not going to say it, but the person who gave me that is here today. He knows. That's the kind of friend to have. He's not perfect, but he's clean. He's upright. He loves God. He worships God. He's in church on Sunday. He's not going to hurt your children or your wife or anybody else. Now, we know that life won't be like that till we get to the millennium. But it's good to have a friend like that here and now in time that has those kinds of standards and Christian conduct. Amen. Seek out that. By the way, there is one friend, as I close this message, who's a friend of friends. In fact, he was criticized by his enemies as being a friend of sinners. Jesus Christ. By the way, he will do more for you than any other friend's ever done or ever could do. He'll save you if you trust him as your Savior. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You could never do anything that would alienate him from being your friend. He's always your friend. Always would be. He would never unfriend you. No matter what you did, no matter what you said, he would never unfriend you. He's going to stick close to the brother. He'll go further with you than any other friend would ever go. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he your friend today? Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Father in heaven, thank you for friends, for friendship. Thank you, Lord, for what all the Bible says about friends and how important they are. Good friends, friends that make us sharper. And I pray this message would fall upon hearts that are open to receive it. But I pray above all else, Lord, for that person here today who's without a friend. Oh, they've been betrayed by friends. Their friends wanted to get them in trouble and did. But they are here today in spite of that. And they really need a friend that's never going to leave them, that's never going to betray them, that's never going to unfriend them. I pray for that person, maybe several here today, Lord, I don't know, that might be that person that needs you as a friend. Friend of sinners. Friend of sinners. Jesus, save that person. Help him to know that your invitation is sincere. You do love them. You will love them. Always. Bring them to yourself today, I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed, eyes still closed, before we close the service by singing a song,